Today's Stream Globe devotional is titled Lordship of Christ. Today's meditation was written by Abraham Damilola Arigi. We shall take our Bible reading from Romans 10 verse 9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I've just read the New King James Version. Being a Christian means accepting Jesus Christ as both your Lord and Savior. As your Savior, he delivers you from the bondage of sin, death, and the devil. His salvation is total, freeing you not only from spiritual oppression, but also from psychological, emotional, and physical bondage. Jesus liberates you from addictions and other forms of captivity, heals your body, and gives you a new life that strengthens your mortal body. Declaring Jesus as your Lord means surrendering the ownership and control of your life to him. You no longer live to please yourself, but live to please him. By acknowledging his lordship, you also accept that he takes responsibility for your life. When you truly believe and declare that Jesus is Lord, Romans 10 verse 9, you are sealing a deal that transfers the ownership of your life to Christ. Accepting Christ's lordship also brings his protection and provision into your life. Just as you entrust someone with something only when you want them to take responsibility, so it is with Jesus. Many believers struggle to see his power in their lives because they have not fully surrendered control to him. Jesus cannot share the ownership of your life. He must be Lord of all, or he is not Lord at all. When you give him full control, you will experience the incomparable benefits of his lordship. Prayer. Dear Lord, I ask that you take full control of every aspect of my life from this moment. Amen. If you have not yet accepted Christ as your Lord but wish to be saved, let's pray this prayer together. Hand over the ownership and government of your life to Christ today by confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You can say this prayer. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge today that I am a sinner. I ask you to save me and give me your Spirit. I confess that you are Lord, and I believe that you died for me and resurrected on the third day for my salvation. Thank you, Father, for receiving me into your glorious family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today's yearly Bible reading shall be taken from John chapters 19 to 21. This Bible reading plan is continuous. If, for example, you begin with us today, by this time next year, you will have gone through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The reading comes up next, John chapters 19 to 21.
Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying,
Hail, King of the Jews!
And they slapped him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews,
Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him.
When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them,
Here is the man!
As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, But Pilate answered,
You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him.
The Jews insisted,
We have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God.
When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace.
Where do you come from?
He asked Jesus, but Jesus gave him no answer.
Do you refuse to speak to me? Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?
Jesus answered,
You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin.
From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. But the Jews kept shouting,
If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar.
Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar.
When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon.
Here is your king,
Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted,
"Take him away!
Crucify him!
Take him away!
Shall I crucify your king?"
Pilate asked.
"We have no king but Caesar,"
the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here, they crucified him, and with two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate.
"Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews."
Pilate answered,
"What I have written, I have written."
When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom.
"Let's not tear it,"
they said to one another.
"Let's decide by lot who will get it."
This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her,
"Woman, here is your son."
And to the disciple,
"Here is your mother."
From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said,
"I am thirsty."
A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "Plant. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you may also believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And, as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said,
"They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him."
So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her,
"Woman, why are you crying?"
"They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him."
At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her,
"Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?"
Thinking he was the gardener, she said,
"Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him."
Jesus said to her,
"Mary."
She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic,
"Rabboni!"
Which means, "Teacher." Jesus said,
"Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God."
Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news.
"I have seen the Lord."
And she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said,
"Peace be with you."
After he had said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said,
"Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you."
And with that, he breathed on them and said,
"Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven."
Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him,
"We have seen the Lord."
But he said to them,
"Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe."
A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas,
"Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe."
Thomas said to him,
"My Lord and my God."
Then Jesus told him,
"Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together.
"I'm going out to fish,"
Simon Peter told them, and they said,
"We'll go with you."
So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them,
"Friends, haven't you any fish?"
"No,"
they answered. He said,
"Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some."
And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there, with fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them,
"Bring some of the fish you have just caught."
Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them,
"Come and have breakfast."
None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter,
"Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?"
"Yes, Lord. You know that I love you."
Jesus said,
"Feed my lambs."
Again, Jesus said,
"Simon, son of John, do you love me?"
"Yes, Lord. You know that I love you."
Jesus said,
"Take care of my sheep."
The third time he said to him,
"Simon, son of John, do you love me?"
Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said,
"Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you."
Jesus said,
"Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go."
Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him,
"Follow me."
Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked,
"Lord, what about him?"
Jesus answered,
"If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me."
Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written.
The end of the Book of John.
You have just listened to Stream Globe Devotional. Kindly share this devotional and let's touch lives together. To learn more about this ministry, get more of our free resources, visit our website at streamglobe.org.
We invite you to tune into our 24/7 internet radio. It is loaded with edifying sermons, music, and other programs. You can listen to Stream Globe Radio at www.streamglobe.org.